Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading, according to Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of the house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of your household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, The man shall not be your heir. Your very own son will be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and the number of stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to be him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Will you join me in saying the catechetical review of the first commandment? You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust God above all things. What does it mean to fear God above all things? It means to take God seriously as our creator and judge. He means that he says, and he threatens to punish those who disobey. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The epistle lesson is 1 John chapter 4, 16 to 21. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand. Chapter. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I would ask the children to come up and join me over here at this table. You guys can come on over here. You can just kind of stand around here if you like. And we're going to talk about something today. Now, a couple of you that were here for VBS, you saw this already. Now, so that everyone in the congregation can see, you see I've got just a vial here of some liquid. This liquid isn't really doing anything for itself, is it? It's just kind of sitting there. It's kind of like pond water, really. It's kind of stagnant. Have you guys ever seen pond water?
Yes.
Yeah. Been to a pond and it's not moving. It's just very stagnant. Sometimes it's kind of smelly depending upon where you are. Well, when I did this trick this week, it made me think about experiment, I should say. When we were doing this in VBS this week, it made me think about our baptisms. Now, were you guys able to do anything for yourselves to raise yourselves from the dead? Can we do that?
No.
No, we can't. We know there's only one that was able to do that, right? So when you were baptized, these wonderful things happened to you, okay? You heard God's word spoken over you, okay? You received the gift of faith in your baptism. And there's some wonderful things that begin to happen when this takes place. As God's Spirit comes into our lives, in our baptisms, this pond water, what looks like it was completely dead, all of a sudden everything begins to come to life. And it begins to bubble and it begins to spring forth. This is a wonderful thing because that's what God does for us as he's continually renewing us from the inside out. And we had this gifted to us in our baptisms, and he will never stop doing this for us, even though my experiment will end. God will never stop doing this for us and renewing us in our baptisms and keep changing us. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pretty cool, right? What do you guys think about that?
I was thinking, what if we had every cup?
Well, maybe next time. We'll see. Yeah. Well, shall we pray? Let's pray and give God thanks this morning for the gifts of our baptisms, all right? So you can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and saving us from our sins. And thank you for delivering us the promises to us in our baptisms. We ask that you'd now be with us and lead us and guide us in your ways always. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go back to your seats. grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The words of Jesus found in Luke chapter 6. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus had often been accused of so many different things, to include eating with tax collectors and sinners. His enemies, his opponents, specifically the Pharisees, were watching him carefully. In Luke's gospel, he draws this out, constantly trying to find a way to trap him, to find that he was saying something contrary to the law of Moses, but more importantly for them, against their customs and their traditions. Before telling this parable today, Jesus had just told another parable which had to do with the love of mammon, of money and possessions. Scripture then tells us, Luke further tells us then, that the Pharisees ridiculed him even further for saying these things. But Jesus told them these parables because he knew their hearts. So I'm preaching on this gospel text for today that we find in the Gospel of Luke, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Now, I think it's important, though, when we look at this, we can easily go to where Jesus is preaching against being wealthy, having wealth, having money. And we have to be careful with this, and that's not the case, because Jesus could have told this parable the other way around, where it would have been the rich man that had gone to heaven and the poor man gone to hell. At any rate, we see here that when Lazarus dies in the parable, he goes to be with the Lord. That's to Abraham's bosom. Jesus tells then the Pharisees this parable. They're blinded by their own sin and self-righteousness, so undoubtedly they cannot see that they represent the rich man in this story. So Jesus says, the rich man feasted sumptuously every day. He's clothed in fine purple linen, so this shows that he was one of high status and prestige in their time. And here's the poor man, who's laid at the gate of this rich man every day. This poor man couldn't do anything for himself, so he was relying on the mercy of others. If he was being laid at the gate, we could make the assumption that this means he wasn't able to do anything for himself. He was most likely crippled. It's even more indicative of his condition that the dogs would come and lick his sores, and he was so weak that he couldn't shoo the dogs away to leave him be. He couldn't help himself, and he was relying on the goodness and the mercy of others. This man's name, we know from the parable, is Lazarus. It's interesting that the rich man is never given a name. Well, let's look at the rich man again. It seems as if he had so much wealth that he didn't know what to do with it. So he was wasting it every day by feasting. There was no reason for him to be doing this every day. It really doesn't make sense. Sounds like he was a glutton. And in this story, he had undoubtedly heard the scriptures. He had heard the books of Moses. He had heard the scriptures. For when he was in hell, we know that he called out there to Father Abraham. He had everything given to him and more, and every opportunity to repent and to love God and his neighbor by being merciful here to Lazarus. But he didn't. And it appears in the story that Jesus tells here that he ignored him and his plight. He was too busy indulging himself in his own needs and desires, and he chose to ignore what was going on right in front of him every day. He was an impenitent sinner and showed no mercy to Lazarus. only interested in himself, feeding his own desires of his own flesh. And we see where, what the result was and where he ended up. Lost without Christ for eternity. Lazarus, on the other hand, represents the brokenness of this world, the brokenness of humanity. As we see, he couldn't do anything for himself. Others were carrying him there and laying him at the gate, relying on the mercy of others. He's so broken, and life has treated him unfairly, some might say, but Jesus doesn't tell us any more about Lazarus. He was this poor, broken man. So I think one of the difficult questions that we grapple with here when we read this text today is, how many times have we encountered a Lazarus in our lives? Do we find ourselves, can we relate to the rich man who has all he needs, who seems to be ignoring what is going on around him, just living out his days to serve his own self-interests? Do we find ourselves with an attitude that we don't want to get involved? How many times can we pass by the stranger on the street who's holding up the sign that he needs help? But we may think to ourselves in our sin, he's a drunkard or a drug addict. He needs to go get a job. It's easy to pass them by and pretend they're not there. When sitting at a stoplight, to make sure that we don't make eye contact with them. Dear saints, I know this is difficult to think about, but these are some of the Lazaruses of our time. And my point is here is that if Christ has called us to be merciful, we are to be merciful as he is. It's not a matter for us to choose who we get to be merciful to. This is what baptized children of God do. As Christ loved you, is merciful to you, died on the cross for your sins, and rose again for you, so you are called to be merciful. We don't get to qualify who receives mercy or not when we see this in light of God's holy word. God was merciful to us, even that yet while we were sinners, he died for us. It's also important for us to remember that we can also relate here to Lazarus, and that we are still broken, and we come and receive God's mercy and grace. His mercies for us never cease. And we, like Lazarus, we've laid ourselves before him time and again in our brokenness and in our helplessness. And we pray, Lord, have mercy. And he is always merciful to his children. Some of us here today have been in what we would consider completely hopeless situations. And the best that we can do at these times is to cry out and beg God for his mercy. The best prayer that we can get off of our lips is, Lord, have mercy. And while we do not understand and cannot comprehend his ways, we continue to trust and rely on his promises for us, and that he will continue to be merciful. This parable for us today, dear saints, also serves as a warning. It's a warning of how we can become so complacent in our sinful worship of mammon, of the pleasures of this life, how easy it is to get off track. The devil would like nothing more than to make you feel that you are secure in and of yourself. God gave a warning to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said this, when they were going into the promised land, the great and good cities that you did not build and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. We are constantly pushing back and fighting against the narrative of a pagan culture in which we live. A narrative that is constantly pushing boundaries and redefining everything, trying to redefine God's word. In a sense, the devil is trying to catechize us. He's trying to get us to buy into all the world is dishing out. trying to tell us that God's word isn't relative for our time. Therefore, it is vital that we remain faithful to word and sacrament. For it is here that you and I are nourished and fed by our Lord constantly so that we can stand the attacks of the evil foe. We can become callous, jaded, and careless, and merciless. We fail to see the brokenness around us, forgetting that we are broken sinners whom Christ has forgiven, merciful to. We can find ourselves living in unrepentance, a constant reminder for us that our lives are one of catechizing, and this means that we are constantly in God's word, back to his word and sacrament, and trusting in all of the promises that he has for us. And in so doing, dear saints, we are then merciful to our neighbor as Christ has been merciful to us. Look again one last time here at the rich man, because when he was being tormented in hell, he asked Abraham to send someone back from the dead to warn his brothers, he said. How telling that Jesus said this to these Pharisees and others, for he is merely speaking of what would happen as he would be laying down his life, but many would still be unconvinced even though he rose from the dead. Would they really be convinced then if someone came back from the dead and warned them? So we live in a culture that says, be good to yourself, all this while ignoring our neighbor who is in need. Dear saints, we have a God who is gracious and merciful, and he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We are forgiven, baptized into Christ. We know that when we don't do what we ought, we are forgiven. When we see how merciless we are with our neighbor, we repent. We know and thank our gracious Lord who is merciful to us, and his mercies never end. And we live in the joy of knowing that we belong to Christ and are forgiven. In this joy, we are then merciful as Christ has been merciful to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.